Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever precious and the worthy name of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you a hearty welcome to the study of God's Word. This is your Bible teacher of the air speaking, J.W. Bramhall. We're studying the great epistle of Paul written to the Galatians. And we have already covered chapters 1 and 2. And in the introductory study of this epistle, we have suggested there are three divisions to the whole book. Each division consists of two chapters each. In chapters 1 and 2, we found that it contained a personal narrative concerning the authentic character of the gospel which Paul preached, having obtained it by divine revelation from God. We not only found that the message of salvation that he preached came from God, but that also it was in complete harmony with what Peter, the Apostle Peter, and his companion apostles preached to the Jews. For Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. They gave to Paul the right hand of fellowship in his ministry of the gospel toward the nations around. They confirmed the fact that both Jew and Gentile could only obtain salvation by grace alone through faith in the Lord Jesus. When contrary influences appeared, and unfortunately they appeared in the person and by the person of Peter, Paul dogmatically protested and tenaciously fought to maintain the truth of the gospel in its simplicity and in its purity. He even withstood the Apostle Peter to his face in the presence of all others. Now we come to chapters 3 and 4, and may I suggest the division of this section of the book will be entirely and practically only doctrinal. Theological arguments to prove the superiority of the gospel above Judaism and legalism of any kind. We shall note the last two chapters will be practical, admonishing and exhorting the saints to put into life practice the truth of the gospel, fruitfully exhibiting the practical results that the gospel should accomplish. So may we repeat with earnestness the outline of this Galatian epistle. The first two chapters, 1 and 2, personal, the narrative of Paul in relation to the gospel God gave him to preach. The second two chapters, 3 and 4, entirely and purely doctrinal, teaching the superior character of the gospel over Judaism and any and every legal system which men may follow. And last of all, the closing two chapters are practical. They focus Paul's insistence upon living the Christian gospel in a life of fruitfulness that honors God in Christ, proving the power of the gospel in living practice. Today we begin the second division of the book, which is the doctrinal section, covered by chapters 2 and 3. Now let me first of all enumerate what Paul will be doing as he teaches us this doctrinal section. For all these two chapters reveal, first of all, the superiority of the gospel over Judaism. Second, they will reveal the superiority of the Spirit, that is, the Spirit of God, over the flesh. They also will reveal the superiority of faith over works. And they will also reveal the superiority of being justified over being in bondage to the law. They will also reveal the superiority of being blessed over being cursed, and the superiority of God's promise that was given to Abraham will be seen over the demands of Moses and the law. We shall also note the superiority of a covenant that God gave Abraham, greater than the covenant he gave to Moses. And we shall learn the superiority of the liberty of the gospel over the bondage of the law. Now let me emphatically repeat that in these various doctrinal teachings, Paul is insisting upon the superiority of the gospel over all other systems that are associated, whether with Judaism or any form of legalism. Now let us look at chapter 3 and begin in verse 1 to see what was Paul's great surprise over his Galatian converts, that they had turned away from the superiority of the gospel to be in bondage and under the beggarliness of the system of legalism. Listen to his opening question, and he speaks as though it seemed almost incredible that any Christian should turn back from the glorious liberty of the gospel and go into the legal bondage of Judaism. Listen to the apostle's words as he says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified amongst you?" Now do permit me to repeat this verse, and I wish to omit certain words contained within it. These words that I omit, they are not found in the original Greek text, though they will be found in a later chapter, chapter 5 and verse 7. I wish to omit the following words, "that ye should not obey the truth." And may I point out the meaning of what the expression implies. Now let us omit this phrase and note the words, which we feel we have authority to so speak on the basis of the Greek text, and we read it as follows: "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you?" Now as the apostle rebukes the Galatians, he emphasizes very clearly how they had been saved. It was not a sight of the Mosaic law that saved them. It was not the works of the flesh. Neither was it the keeping of holy days, and not even baptism. It was a sight of Jesus Christ and him crucified. He draws their attention in a very special way to the cross of Christ. Now why does the Holy Spirit here declare Jesus Christ crucified among you? Now may I point out what is not so often realized. First, because a death by crucifixion places shame upon a man as well as upon the flesh in all of its pride. For there is nothing the world considers so foolish as salvation by the death of a man upon a cross. The wise of this world scorn the idea that a divine person should thus die. It is something that certainly they believe is so weak and senseless in their opinion. But may I declare that the world has no sense, no conviction of the terrible character of sin and of man's enmity to God and of God's solemn judgment upon man and his sin. For it was at the cross, through the death of God's dear Son, that he revealed his hatred and his judgment upon man's enmity and man's sin. And then second, the atoning death of Christ proves the absolute helplessness and hopelessness of looking to the law for salvation. The power of the law could never give eternal life. Only Christ can do this. When Paul first came to the Galatians, they were heathens. They were worshippers of idols, idols of wood and stone. But it was not the law that brought them out of this condition. It was Christ and the message of him crucified the message of the cross. Paul had preached the message of God's holy saving love through the gift of his Son upon the cross. And all that the law was able to do was only to condemn these Galatians, as well as all mankind, as being worthy of death and of judgment. But the apostle sets before the eyes of the Galatians when he preached to them Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now let me put in a plea with all my radio listeners who may be hearing the message, and who may possibly, as I know some people do, have the assumption that they can be saved, they can be justified by keeping the law of Moses. Let me plead with you to get away from such an idea. It is absolutely contrary to the true message of God's gospel of grace. The law cannot save you. The law is only able to condemn you. And it has power to condemn you to eternal death. For you and I have sinned. You and I have broken the holy law. But the superiority of the gospel of God's good news over the law is set forth by the death of Christ upon the cross, and God has power to give to all life eternal, and there is no other way. The hymn writer has written those wonderful words. There is life in a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him who was nailed to the tree. And the very opening remarks of Paul in chapter 2 declare that when he preached to the Galatians, he lifted up Jesus Christ and his death upon the cross for their salvation. Or may I repeat the words of the hymn writer again, who has said, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There is no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. Radio friend, you must trust the death of Christ for your redemption. There's no other way. Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, sanctify, honor thy truth, and bless it to the saving of some sinner. In Jesus' name, amen.